You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Coal ash landfills, they're regulated by state and federal rules, but landfill operators may be covered by a single set of regulations if the DNR gets the handoff from the Environmental Protection Agency to take over regulation of the state's coal ash landfills and ponds. So do you live near a coal ash waste site? What questions do you have about environmental risks? We're at 800-642-1234. James Tingem is a professor in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. His expertise is in environmental remediation, solid waste management, and sustainability. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, always a pleasure to be on.
So explain for us how we get coal ash. How does this byproduct end up in ponds and landfills?
Well, coal ash is the byproduct of the combustion of coal, and it either settles out to the bottom, that's bottom ash, or we collect the fly ash that's up through the air pollution devices. And so we have these two products, typically fly ash or bottom ash, and these products generally need to be recycled or beneficially reused or disposed of in some form of impoundment or landfill.
And I understand the state has 18 coal landfill sites that are regulated by the federal government. How does this all work?
Yes. So we both have federal regulations, but also coal ash has generally always been regulated within Wisconsin. Just going back to history very quick, in 2008, we had the Kingston coal ash spill in Tennessee, and that really sped up the United States Environmental Protection Agency in developing regulations that have been proceeding since then. Wisconsin has always managed coal ash through the Department of Natural Resources in some form of regulatory structure.
What about coal ash is toxic?
Generally speaking, boron is one of the elements that tends to be found in coal ash and released, also sulfates, and to a lesser degree, some heavy metals such as arsenic.
And how, explain how the slurry or that fly ash you talked about, how that's contained.
Okay, well, there's two types of streams. One is a wet stream, and that's where we add a lot of water to the process and you pipe the residuals to an impoundment. And that's typically what's done at the large pond at Columbia. And also, to my knowledge, Weston Pond still use that technology. There are other boilers that can develop ash that is dry. And with the dry ash, which is most common and easier to handle, we basically load it into trucks and then drive it to the landfill for disposal.
Why is the dry ash easier to work with?
Because you can compact it. I mean, you can transport easily, although it's more expensive to transport versus piping in the slurry. The problem with the slurries is it's very wet and you have to drain that water eventually out of the impoundments. And that Kingston coal ash spill in Tennessee, that was a wet ash disposal site. So we have structural issues, stability issues, a lot more things that we worry about.
Can there be leaching? Can there be leaching from the pond?
There can be leaching from the ponds if they are not lined with clay or other, you know, modern landfill lining material.
We're talking with Jim Tingem, an expert on landfill design and management. We're talking about oversight of toxic coal ash waste sites in Wisconsin. Jim, why does the state DNR want to take over regulation of our coal ash landfills and ponds?
Well, first off, for the last 50 years, the Wisconsin DNR has been a leader in environmental programs. You know, back 50, 40 years ago, the federal often would borrow Wisconsin standards, so it's not atypical for Wisconsin to take a lead in something like this in management of environmental products. Two states already have approved programs, Oklahoma and Georgia, so there is a process in play to take that responsibility over from the federal government, and I see no reason why the DNR would not follow suit.
So you feel that the state has the proper staff and resources to regulate these coal ash ponds and landfills?
Well, I can't say what resources they have in play, especially with PFAS and a lot of other things happening, but they have the history to do something like this, and they have the mindset to do it, in my opinion.
How has landfill technology changed in the years since the state's coal ash landfills formed?
Well, it's amazing what's happened in the last 50 years. Many of us probably remember the open town dumps where basically it was just old quarries and holes in the ground. And, you know, in the last 50 years, we've gone to very modern landfill designs with plastics in the landfill, compacted clay, leachate collection systems, air monitoring systems, groundwater monitoring systems. So it's very much advanced. And so we do have modern engineering controls and techniques that we can put into place to safely manage these residuals.
And coal ash can be recycled. Where do you see it in the recycling channels?
Yeah, so fly ash and bottom ash are both actually highly beneficial and sought after by the construction industry. One thing is that fly ash is commonly used as a replacement for cement in concrete because it has pozzolanic properties. And also a lot of road construction projects where we have clayey or soft subgrades, if we mix in fly ash or CCR or coal combustion residuals, it actually very much improves the structural properties of road construction. So again, concrete and road construction are very common places where we see these residuals going for beneficial reuse.
What is the regulation process like if the state DNR would take this over completely? How long of a process is that?
Well, first is the state would have to be at least as restrictive as the federal government. So that's the general requirement. You know, they can't have a program that's less restrictive than the federal rules. This rulemaking process is basically what the DNR would do is develop a plan on how they would regulate the coal combustion residual industry, and they would submit it to the EPA for review and approval as a quote-unquote approved program.
What advantages might that have? What do we know from the states you mentioned, like Oklahoma and Georgia?
One of the things is just it's closer to home. State officials, even though they're always reviewing these, understand the dynamics, the politics, the environmental science within the state. And more so than anything, it just balances some conflicts between existing state rules because Wisconsin NR 500, we already manage solid waste. But some of those regulations, particularly for groundwater monitoring, are different than the federal regulations. So there are some coal combustion residual sites in Wisconsin that have two separate monitoring networks for groundwater because the federal regulations are different than the state regulations. If we put that all together under the state, there's one consistent program that all industry knows that they have to follow.
Well, Jim, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks so much, Kate.
James Tingem is a professor in the College of Engineering at UW-Madison. Previously, he was a consultant at engineering firms, has worked on nearly three dozen landfill sites. Coming up, our partners at WisConText reviewed encryption security and the use of .gov domains by Wisconsin counties. We check in on election security in just a moment here on the Ideas Network.